Surprise. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. Pastor Farley's in Minnesota today, performing well. Yesterday the wedding was, I guess, of Danielle DiFiore and Galen Loomis. Danielle was a part of our group until several years ago when she moved away to Minnesota. She passed the bar exam and got an offer for a job up in Minnesota at a law firm. So she went up there and evidently met the guy that she's married. So we offer our prayers and good wishes to Danielle and Galen and their families. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for the many blessings you have provided for us. Most importantly, sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind and provide the gift of eternal life to those who simply believe and trust in Jesus. I would like to pray this evening or this morning also for the victims of the recent hurricanes, especially in Puerto Rico, where the resources are not as available as they are here. Also, we pray, Father, for the survivors and the families of the victims of last week's terrible shooting in Las Vegas. Please bless all of us today and prepare our minds and hearts today as we seek to learn more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us.
Thank you, singers. What a great job, as always. Well, again, welcome. For those of you that may be new, there's a guest tablet in the lobby if you would like to sign in, as well as a prayer box and prayer request forms that you could fill out if you'd like us to pray for you. We have a Thursday night Bible study and prayer group that happens every Thursday at 7 and 7 p.m. Hello. Okay. Sorry, that was a bad phone. Is that better now? It's okay? All right. Sorry about that. Please raise your hand if you don't have a Bible, as it'll be helpful to read along today because we got a lot of Bible verses. We're going to be flipping like crazy. As you know, each month we feature a different missionary organization which we pray for and offer support here as a church. We encourage you also to do this in any way that you can, any way you feel able. This month it's Grace Bible Pakistan, gbcpakistan.org. This month, this is the ministry of Faisal and Carrie John. I don't know, probably a lot of you know who they are. They've been here before. Their ministry exists to serve a group of Christians in Pakistan. They sponsor a school for poor children, an orphanage, and distribute printed Bible study material in the local Urdu language in Pakistan. And actually, they come here in the summertime and do go to the various Christian camps around the country. Please pray for this important ministry and support it as the Lord may lead you. You can donate here by noting GBC Pakistan on your check and put it in the box back there, or you can go to their website at www.gbcpakistan.org. So last month, last April, when Pastor was out for a while because of some medical issues, I was preparing a Thursday evening Bible study for 2 John, the book of 2 John. And I was thinking about also the next message that I needed to prepare in case Pastor needed me to work on, you know, if he needed to fill in for him like I'm doing today. As I read and reread 2 John, verse 5 stood out for some reason. John reminds his readers of the greatest commandment, and we'll look at 2 John chapter 1 and verse 5, and it's up there on the slide. I didn't put most of the verses on the slide because there's a lot of them. But anyway, we'll read in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So I was also thinking about our 8 or 10 years ago, Meryl and I had one another as a theme for our youth camp, which we sponsored every year. You guys probably, most of you remember that. And I thought it was a very important subject at the time for the teens and the children that attended the camp. So I decided it'd be a great subject for everybody, young and old. Not that we have any old people here. We're all middle-aged. In today's challenging world, there are many problems and responsibilities that cry out for our attention all the time. We have health worries, job worries, money worries, terrorism, war, political infighting, fake news. All make us feel at times there is just too much to do to be concerned with our friends and neighbors or their problems. So where do we turn for answers and comfort we need and desire? How do we deal with others in the family of God? How do we deal with others in the world? Well, God has a tremendous amount to say about this in his word. Jesus gave the disciples this command right before he was arrested and tried and crucified in John chapter 13. So in John chapter 13, verse 34, John chapter 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that is Jesus telling his followers what to do, to love one another. So why does Jesus call this a new commandment when we have seen this before as early as Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18? We'll look at this later. In these verses, In John, Jesus is giving the disciples instructions for what they must do after his death on the cross. He's telling them to love one another as he has loved them. What a strong command. Jesus loved them as he loves us, enough to die on the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind and provide freedom from the bondage of sin and to give us eternal life through faith in him. And he says, continuing in verse 35, the next verse, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And flipping over to John chapter 15 and verse 12, Jesus continues in this same line of commands. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And a few verses down in verse 17, Jesus says, this I command you, that you love one another. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, Jesus says again, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what is the meaning of this command to love one another? We all have love for someone, spouse, parents, children, siblings, significant other, maybe best friends. But we don't and we can't love others in this exact same way. Our love for our families is a personal love called in the Greek phileo, meaning you love the person because of who they are, their good qualities or family attachments, things of that nature. And the Strong's Dictionary defines the word phileo to be a friend to, fond of, an individual or an object, that is, to have affection for, denoting personal attachment, as a matter of sentiment or feeling. And in John chapter 5 and verse 20, Jesus says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." The love that God is commanding us to have for our neighbors is a type of impersonal love, which is called agape in the Greek, and is used in the commands by Jesus and characterized by kindness, compassion, and benevolence. And also the word, sometimes they use the word agapao, is used in some verses. And this is really the thing that we're going to be dealing with today, is mostly the agape type love. And what that basically is love, affection, or benevolence, specifically plural, a love feast, or charity, charitable type of love. And sometimes the word is agapao, which is to love in a social or moral sense. Another way to describe this kind of love is brotherly love, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, where Paul uses the Greek word philadelphia, which means brotherly love. And we've all heard of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. I'm thinking that that's where they got this name from. Anyway, that means brotherly love. And he goes on to describe what this means if you turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and we'll read verse 10 through verse 18. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Never pay back evil for anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And by doing this, we can bring attention to and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, as he tells us in John 13:35, which we've seen before. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, God gave some commands in the Old Testament that told the Israelites how to show this kind of love to each other. In Leviticus 19, verse 18, we're going to look at verse 18 and verse 34 also in Leviticus. So Leviticus 19, verse 18, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And in 34, verse 34, "The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you are aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19, "So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt." And then in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 10, "And do not oppress the widow or orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." And then in Zechariah chapter 8, the next chapter, verse 16, "These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another, judge with truth and judgment, for peace in your gates." So we're gonna find a common thread of a lot of these verses as we get farther down into the... Hello? Oh, that's hard to believe. No, it's not. Nope, nothing there. The bad phone again. Okay, we're commanded to love our enemies. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, so Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Well, certainly in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus did not mean that we should love our enemies personally like we love our families, since most of them are detestable in our opinion, or they wouldn't be our enemies. So Jesus is exhorting believers here not to hate, but to try to see their enemies in a benevolent way, desiring them to turn from their bad behavior and see the truth of the gospel, and to pray for them in this way also. In verse 46, two verses down, Matthew 5:46, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" I think Jesus here is distinguishing personal love from impersonal love here by explaining that everyone, even the worst sinners, love those who are lovable and who love them back. He wants us to exercise impersonal love and benevolence toward those who may not be so lovable. Sometimes this could include forgiving someone who has hurt us or disrespected us in some way. Jesus talked about forgiveness in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. You're already in Matthew, so we'll just jump over to chapter 6 and verse 14. And Jesus said, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, we could turn to Luke chapter 17. Now, verse 3, Jesus said, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." And in verse 4, "If he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him." And Paul writes of this same thing over in Colossians chapter 3, 12. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 12, yes. 12, 13, and 14. Colossians 3, 12, Paul writes, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." But none of this is to suggest that we must forgive before we can be forgiven, as we are forgiven all of our sins based on Christ's blood on the cross at the moment we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, John writes, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for you in his name's sake, for his name's sake." And going over to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we all probably know this verse as good as anything. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God and not of works, so that no one can boast. So when talking about forgiveness, Jesus is simply explaining and exhorting us to love one another, which often requires forgiveness. And then, is what a person has done to us too terrible? If we think the things that were done to us were too terrible to forgive, remember, Jesus forgave his murderers as he was suffering on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 34. And in Luke 23:34, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And in Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, and we'll see a lot of things in Ephesians today. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So I think we see a pattern here that part of loving one another and loving your neighbor is forgiveness. Sometimes rather than forgiving, our human nature wants to seek revenge on a person who has wronged us. But God has other ideas. As we have seen in Leviticus 19:18, remember that, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15, that is being repeated as a command. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And back in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, we saw Romans 12 through 18, and now we're going to see Romans 12, 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So, humility and respect for others is an important part of this loving one another. God wants us to be humble to one another and not to treat those less fortunate with disdain or disrespect. This type of love can be realized every day by treating those who serve us with kindness and respect. This could include store clerks, restaurant servers, our employees, our employers, or just those who we meet in our travels. The showing of kindness and respect for people, even when not required, glorifies our Lord and sets us apart as examples of Christian love, as we learned in John 13, 35. And Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, we could turn there and look at Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. And Paul is writing in Ephesians 4, 1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And back in Romans again, in Romans 12, 16, Paul writes, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And moving over to Romans 13 and verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, we're commanded to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. And in Matthew 5:16, Jesus tells us to let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, Jesus gave an example of this while speaking to some of his followers in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. And we'll look at that now, if you want to turn and follow along in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. That's the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So Jesus answered him in a parable. And Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn to take care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will pay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And the lawyer said to Jesus, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Well, this seems to me to be an extreme example, but I think Jesus knew this guy was trying to justify himself and therefore gave him a really tough assignment. Of course, many of us may not have the capabilities to do what the Samaritan did, but it was a great act of love thy neighbor, and certainly we all have some capabilities to help someone. This was evidenced in a huge way at the terrible scene of the shooting in Las Vegas, where many people, police, fire, and other brave, caring people, with little regard for their own safety, risked their lives shielding and helping the wounded to safety. I don't know how many of them were believers, but I would guess many were. And this certainly qualifies as an extreme example of loving your neighbor. God wants us to be especially kind and benevolent to those believers in the church. The church exists primarily for the purpose of bringing the gospel and the word of God to as many people as possible, but also, as we will see, has a role in lifting each other up and providing help and comfort to each other. The church is not the building. The church is us, the people, the body of Christ. In Acts 11, verse 29. In Acts 11, verse 29. "And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea." So they were basically obeying Christ's command to love their love one another as themselves. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And one chapter over in Romans 15 and verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. And in verse 7 in the same chapter 15. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, this is talking about how we relate to other people in our church and in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And going over to Galatians 6:2, we're told to bear one another's burden. Paul writes of this command to help others in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. By the way, many of you were involved in the recent Thursday night study of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is all about how to live as God desires all believers to live. For those of you who missed that study, which was great, we've been on it for quite a number of weeks. For those of you who missed it, take the time to read the book of Ephesians through a number of times and understand it. It's short and to the point and packed with practical truth to live by. So we're still going to be in Ephesians here for a little bit. God wants us to be truthful to one another. Earlier we saw the command in Zechariah 8:16 to be truthful. And here Paul repeats it in Ephesians and Colossians, starting in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. And Paul is talking here about God giving the spiritual gifts to people to build up the body of Christ. So, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So here we're told that God gave gifts to the people for the purpose of building up the body, the church, in the knowledge of his word, and that we should be mature in his word and able to fulfill his commands and speak the truth in love and build up the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 4:25, Paul writes, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each other with his neighbor, to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. And in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 9, Colossians 3, verse 9 through 16. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So, we're also told to encourage and comfort one another. And this is not what the world teaches. The world says, assert yourself. It's all about me. You deserve this. So why do kids bully each other? Where do they learn to do this? Twitter and Facebook are very often used to tear down, criticize, and scorn others by those who are self-centered and arrogant. And certainly, not all this comes from Twitter and Facebook, but a lot of it comes from kids seeing their parents or their people that they respect doing the same thing, tearing people down rather than building them up. But the book that we're looking at is the Bible book. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we're told, and we'll be looking at 5:11 through 14. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. And going back to Ephesians, we can repeat this command to be kind to one another in Ephesians 4:31. Again, and we've been there before, but Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, Hebrews chapter 3, 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And going over in Hebrews to chapter 10, and let us continue, chapter 10 and verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, I know it's a lot of verses, right? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 8 through 10, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Maybe some of you are familiar with Chuck Swindoll. He's a very famous pastor, evangelist, and has a website called www.insight.org. And this is from his website. He sums up, Jesus told his disciples to love one another as I have loved you, in John 13:34. That wouldn't be so hard if the love Jesus displayed was primarily the write a check or call once a month type of love. But Jesus set the bar immeasurably high. Jesus' kind of love touched the skin of a leopard and washed the feet of a soon-to-be betrayer. He didn't mind the interruption by another's demands, even those of a person all others disdained. Jesus had the uncanny ability to look straight into a person's soul and see the deepest need there. Is that an impossible example to follow? You bet it is. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us and empower us with his supernatural love. Only when plugged into that power will his followers stand out in their treatment of others and of one another. Then people will take notice and say, wow, how they love one another. Let these resources set you on a path of loving with the Savior's love. And summing it up today, God commands us to love one another in all these ways. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And in verse 23, 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us to. And going over to 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And in verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So some points to remember here is Jesus tells us to love one another as he has loved us. Agape love is a kind of compassionate, benevolent type of love based on the giver, not the lovableness of the receiver. God wants us to love our enemies and pray they will see and repent from their deeds. Leave revenge to the Lord. Forgiveness. He wants us to forgive others and avoid hate and bitterness. And to be humble and treat everyone with respect, regardless of their station in life. And to be especially benevolent and kind to others in the church and the body of Christ. He wants us to bear each other's burdens, encourage each other, help others when you see a need that you can provide assistance, and speak the truth in love. As we close our service today, if anyone has not yet believed in Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to make this decision. We know that we cannot earn or deserve salvation or eternal life, as Ephesians 2:8-9 tell us. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, so that no one can boast. And in Romans 6:22, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, in order that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God has made salvation so simple that all you have to do is close your eyes and tell God, I believe that Jesus died for me, and trust in him as my Lord and Savior. Lighthouse Bible Church is a grace ministry supported by gifts from believers who desire to support the teaching of God's Word. We don't ask for pledges, and we don't pass the plate. If God puts it on your heart to help support this ministry, there's a box in the back, or you can simply mail a check or donate online. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to worship you and to study your word today. And we ask that you bless us with your loving grace and answer our prayers as we leave today. And we pray that Pastor John will have a safe flight home from Minnesota. And we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Have a great week.